This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count it a privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we lift up our heart to Thee at this hour, crying unto Thee for mercy and grace to help in time of need, and this is a time of need. Our heart goes to Thee that Thou wilt work effectually, and by Thy Spirit in the heart of these who will listen today, O Lord, deal with their hearts, turn them unto Thee. Has not sin reigned long enough? Is it not time that righteousness and grace would reign through Jesus Christ our Lord? Oh, we pray for mercy for this radio audience. Our Lord, we carry them as a heavy burden upon our soul to Thy throne of grace. Lord, when we see sin reigning and running rampant everywhere we turn, oh, we cry to Thee for awakening, for revival, for broken hearts, for contrite spirits, and for Thy Word to go home in power and much assurance by Thy Spirit to each and every heart. So look upon us as You'd look upon the mercy seat. Remember, our Father, that we are nothing but poor worms of the dust and that we need Thee. And so we cry after Thee that Thou wilt help us and lead us and guide us. For it is in Christ's name that we pray and ask. Amen. say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our God is good, gracious, merciful, faithful, and long-suffering unto us. And we want to praise Him and thank Him for it, and all that He has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're happy that you're with us today, and praying that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. This is our prayer. Our free book that we're offering this month is entitled Profiting from the Word, by author W. Pink. It's 10 studies in the Scriptures on sin, God, Christ, prayer, good works, obedience, the world, the promises, joy, and love. Profiting from the Word will indeed be a profit to you as you read it and meditate upon it with your open Bible. This book is yours if you'll write us. Free, we will send it free and postpaid. Ask for it by name, Profiting from the Word. Also, when you write, ask us about our circulating cassette ministry and how you may receive these radio broadcasts on a circulating basis on cassette tape, and also the other messages that we preach and give in our evangelistic travels across the South from week to week. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505 is the zip. And now for God's message. We have for some time now been bringing you a series of messages on our Lord's teachings from the four Gospels. We've been looking at the warnings of our Lord out of His precious Word, and have been bringing before each one of you the warnings of God's Word as set forth by our Lord Jesus and by His apostles, warning us from His precious Word, and how we praise God for the warnings that are set before us. And these things God has given us that we may make our calling and election sure. My heart has gone out to each and every one of you then, Radio Land. I've carried a heavy burden for you this past week, crying that God would make His Word effective to each and every heart. For I know that unless the Holy Spirit moves, nothing moves. For salvation is of the Lord, and it comes to us wholly and completely by the grace of God. So we're praying for you, longing that God will work effectually in your hearts. I want you to lay aside everything and listen to this most important message today, crying that God would take it home to our hearts. Will you listen? There are two great basic truths which run through Scripture and are seen just about everywhere on every page of Holy Writ, namely, that God is sovereign and that man is a responsible creature. And it is only as the balance of truth is preserved between these two that we are delivered from error. The divine sovereignty should not be pressed to the exclusion of human responsibility, nor must human responsibility be so stressed that God's sovereignty is either ignored or denied. I believe that the Bible teaches the divine sovereignty of God, the right for God to do as He pleases, what He pleases, how He pleases, and when He pleases, because He is God and He is good. This to me is the basis of every doctrine of God's Word. And the number one doctrine, as I understand God's Word, is the sovereignty of God. But to this statement we add that the sovereign God of the Bible only acts in accordance with His holy nature. Therefore, the judge of all the earth can do only that which is right and righteous, for this is His nature. Being the sovereign God, He has in His sovereignty made us His creatures responsible to Him for all that we do and say or think. You see, we are responsible to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength and to love our neighbor as ourselves. As responsible creatures, we are to repent and to believe, to turn to God from sin, to walk in the straight and narrow way of holiness, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. We are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. We are to pray, to seek God's face, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and to pass our life down here in the fear of God, redeeming the time because we are children of God. On the other hand, we are to understand from Scripture that God has promised to get us safely home at last, for it is He Himself, by His Spirit who works in us, to do of His good will and His pleasure. He has promised that He would present us faultless at that last great day, that being His, there is nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Also, that there is nobody who can pluck a child of God out of the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you listening? Yet when we come to the blessed teaching of God's Word concerning the eternal security of the believer, we find that there is much misunderstanding concerning this blessed truth today. This truth, like every other truth of Scripture, has two sides to it. Into it enters both God's sovereignty and human responsibility. It is the failure to recognize and reckon upon this, these two things which has wrought such havoc and created so much confusion, therefore the need of God's warnings to our heart today. Listen now. There have been those who boldly insist that if God has eternally elected a certain man to be saved, that man will be saved no matter what he does or does not do. But dear friend, this is not what the Word of God teaches. Scripture says in 2 Thessalonians 2:13 that God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And if a man does not believe the truth, he will never be saved. If he is not set apart by the Spirit of God in sanctification and comes to believe the truth of his own condition before God, and that God in His holiness declares that man's sin should be punished, he will never be saved. In Luke 13:3, our blessed Lord declared, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Therefore, if a sinner does not repent, he will not be saved." He cannot, apart from the grace of repentance. In the same line of reasoning, there are those who have said, if a man is not a real Christian, no matter how he may live in the future, no matter how far or how long he may backslide, no matter what sins he may commit, he is sure for heaven. But this is not what God's Word teaches. For a man to get to heaven, he must walk in the only pathway that leads there, and that is the pathway of righteousness and true holiness. You see, God did not save us to give us liberty to walk in the indulgence of the flesh, but He saved us to give us the liberty that we may walk in the pathway of righteousness and true holiness, the way that our Lord walked and is still walking. I've met many, oh, so many people who profess to be Christians whose daily lives differ in nothing from thousands of non-professors all around them. They rarely, if ever, are found at the prayer meeting. Listen to me now. They have no family worship. They seldom read the Scriptures. They will not talk with you about the things of God. They know nothing of the preciousness of Christ. Their walk is thoroughly worldly, and yet they are quite sure that they are bound for heaven. If you ask them the basis or ground of their confidence, they will tell you that so many years ago they accepted Jesus as their Savior, and once saved, always saved is now their comfort. But I say it firmly, I say it in love, but I say it positively, based upon the Word of God, that if this is your life and your basis of heaven, then, my friend, you are on sinking sand. Again, I say it in love, you're lost and need to repent. For God's Word does not teach that a man can be saved and continue in his sins. He cannot be saved and continue in his worldliness. He cannot be saved and continue in his self-will. For our God gives no such salvation. For you see, He saves us from our sins and not in our sins. It is to combat this false doctrine, which gives false hope of security, that the warnings of God's Word in so many places is directed. It is these warnings that we are looking at in these messages that we are delivering at this time. Let me repeat it again. The Scriptures abound in the gracious truth and teaching of the eternal security of the believer, that if indeed we are in Christ, made bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh, in that divine union by His Spirit, then we are truly saved and saved forever. This I firmly believe and rejoice in, because it is God's holy, unbroken Word. But on the other hand, our living sovereign God has hedged this blessed truth around with the teaching of the perseverance of the saints. That is, that the believer is responsible to daily walk in the pathway of holiness, which gives proof to the fact that he is indeed in Christ and indwelt by His Spirit. All right, to the law and to the testimony, then, is my plea. Let us listen to God's Word. In 2 Timothy 2:19, we read, "The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His." That is eternal security. Yet the last part of that scripture reads, "And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." That's Christian perseverance. The proof that I am in Christ is that I am daily departing from sin, not wallowing in it and calling myself a carnal Christian. Again, in Hebrews 2:6 we read, "Christ as a son over His own house, whose house we are." That's the true statement of God, where He puts us when He saves us in the Lord Jesus Christ. But to evidence this, we read in the last part of that verse, Hebrews 2:6, "If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end." You see, dear friend, the proof of our being in Christ is a daily holding fast our confidence and assurance in Christ, and this firm unto the end. And also, while we are doing this, we are rejoicing in that hope that God has given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 14 of Hebrews 3, the wording is put a little stronger. There we read, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Not only are we to start with Christ, but we are to end with Christ. By His grace we are held steadfast unto the end. For it is written in Matthew 24:13, "He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved." I want to go over that again with you. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Literally millions in this country today who have made a profession, gone back to the world, they, personal soul winners, preachers, pastors, claim that these individuals are saved and would preach them into heaven and tell their loved ones when they die they've gone to be with God. That's not what Hebrews 3:14 says. "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." That's a declarative statement made by God Himself. You see, not only are we to start with Christ, but we are to end with Christ. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." My dear friend, If you think for one moment that I am wrong in urging believers to make their call and election sure and to endure to the end, then you have not read these verses in Acts. Listen to Acts 11:22, where we read, "They sent forth Barnabas that he should go far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Hold fast to Him. Again in Acts 13:43 we read, "Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God." Oh, this is our business to warn you to continue in the grace of God. Once more in Acts 14, we are told, "And when they had preached the gospel in that city, they went back confirming the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." Let's go further. In 1 Corinthians 10:12, we are warned by what happened to Israel in the wilderness to let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. These are warnings. Also in Hebrews 3:12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." He called them brethren, but he told them to take heed, for he did not know their heart, and they did not know their heart. And that could have been an evil heart of unbelief in them in departing from the living God. You see, our blessed Lord himself in his earthly ministry never failed to warn men of the danger of stopping short or going on in the life of faith or counting the cost of perseverance in the faith. In Luke 9:62, he warns, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." In John 8:31, he says, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." I want you to hear that. If ye continue in my word. That is a continued thing. Not that I was saved when I was 12 and it went off into sin for 10 long years and I came back when I was 30 or 35 years old. No, if ye continue steadfast, always in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Only as we continue in his word and follow him can we show that we are indeed indwelt by his spirit. You see, my soul is grieved. Oh, I've cried. I've met so many who've turned back and yet claim to be going to heaven and they have no signs of life within them. And oh, my soul has been grieved in the last months, crying unto God for mercy. Mercy, Lord. Mercy, Lord. Oh, that souls would be warned to go on. Again, our Lord told his disciples in John 15:10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love," as a keeping of his word. Also in verse 14, we read, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." See, all these warnings appeal to our responsibility. He kept appealing to their responsibility. You see, neither our Lord nor his disciples in their epistles ever treated their listeners as robots or sticks or stones, but as responsible creatures. And so does the Scripture appeal to us. We are to keep ourselves in the love of God, according to Jude 21. Listen to me now. We are to make our call and election sure, according to 2 Peter 1:10, by seeing that we are giving all diligence to add to our faith virtue, into our virtue knowledge, into our knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We're to flee fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. We're to flee idolatry, 1 Corinthians 10:14. We're to flee the love of money, 1 Timothy 6:11. We're to flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22. We're to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, James 1:27, and we are to make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof, according to Romans 13:14, and we are to mortify the deeds of the body, according to Galatians 3:5. My, dear friend, what a responsibility. Yes, this is the only way that we can prove that we are in Christ. For our Lord said, "By their fruits you shall know them." So what does the true child of God do when he's faced with this array of scriptures which plead to his responsibility? I know what he does. He continually, day by day, casts himself upon the Lord by faith, trust in Him, that by His Spirit He will be enabled to fight the good fight of faith. He cries unto His Lord and Savior to keep him, to hold him, to deliver him, and to give him His promises and to work in him, willing to do according to His good pleasure. He sees in Christ his only hope, and he rests in Him. Therefore, prove it every day that he's in Christ by drawing from Him all that he needs for each day. He proves daily by his continued looking to Christ that he is indeed more than conquerors through Him that loved him. My friend, are you continuing in the love of God by His Spirit working in you? Do these warnings head you in and make you seek daily for Christ to provide all of your need? These warnings are given, and we need them, and I praise the Lord for them. Have you noticed in all of this, my dear friend, that the life of a true believer is far different than the average professed Christian thinks it is? It is a life of faith. It is a daily drawing all from Christ and crying unto Him for His Spirit to work in him. Is this your life? This free, easy believingism that's taught today, that you can believe on Jesus as your Savior, and later on, if you desire, you can come back and make Him as your Lord. This is not God's Word at all. Sit down and count the cost. He's Lord. Everywhere in the Scriptures that you find His Saviorship, you'll find it coupled with His Lordship, and it's always Lord and Savior. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, for if He was not Lord, He would not have power to deliver you. But because He is Lord, then there is a bow unto His Lordship. My friend, let me repeat it again. The Christian life is a far different thing than the average professed Christian thinks it is. It is a life of faith, daily drawing all from Christ and crying unto Him for His Spirit to work in you. It's a battle. It's a following the Lord, standing with the whole armor of God upon us. And this takes the grace of God. We're happy that you've been with us today, and pray that you'll write for these messages. We'll send them to you when they come in print. And also feel free to ask for that book, Profiting from the Word. It'll bless your heart. It's yours free and postpaid if you'll write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505 is the zip. We're happy that you've been with us today. Praying that the blessings of our gracious Lord will rest upon you. Goodbye, and may God bless you.